Welcome to the C3 Church Podcast. Stay tuned for this week's message.
Well, as mentioned, my husband Thomas has just come back from Real Men. Who went to Real Men? Yeah, nice. Okay, great. And let me tell you, he has come home with a few things that have changed in his heart. First of all, his Frenchie apparently spoke about being punctual and being on time. So he's set his clock forward 10 minutes, which is excellent, but he's quite compulsive now being on time. The second thing he's come home to say is that he's now taking control. I'm taking control again, Elka, so which is great as well. He's also told me that men are warriors. I'm a warrior, he's telling me. But I don't think he's realised at She Gathers and Every Woman Conference, we're also told as women that we're warriors as well. I haven't kind of told him that, so if he's listening online, he'll know that as well. The biggest change has been, because he's taking control and he's becoming manly again, that he decided to go back out a couple of weeks ago, even more manly, darling, a couple of weeks ago, and decided to go out and buy a bike. A full-on, you know, road cycling bike that he's gone out to buy. And so now the bad thing is I used to exercise every single morning and I have to alternate my days with him. All because of Real Men. So I'm not kind of sure if I liked him going to Real Men, but thank you, because I know that it has helped empower him. The second big disclaimer that I want to mention, and I can happily mention it because the boss is not in the room tonight, is Pastor Phil. Every time he gets up, asks me to come up and talk, it always happens to be when I'm pregnant and he never normally knows about it. So I got up a couple of years ago on Mother's Day when we were pregnant with our first child, Nevada, and announced that we were pregnant. Got up, I think, last year, Edison was pregnant, and what has he done again? Tonight, announcing we're 3.5 months pregnant again. So, thank you. So if you're thinking, has Elka been putting on weight, or what's this little bowl of pasta here? Yes, I assure you, there's a human being growing inside. What I do want to say about Pastor Phil is, and I'm really going to have a crack at him now, is recently, about last year, I was at Pathfinders, and we just had our second child, Edison, and I got back into the best shape of my life that I could possibly get into. You know, kind of back to that point of having the flat abs. I was having competitions with Thomas who could have the best six pack. And so the, you know, you guys all do that at home with your spouses, right? Anyway, Pastor Phil was there and I was getting up and I was hosting the event. And at the end, you know, I was wearing this black tight dress. I was literally the leanest I've been. And he came up to me and he grabbed me and he went, "Are you pregnant?" Worst thing anyone can ever say. And I looked at him and I wanted to rip into him so badly, but he is my pastor. And I said, no, remember we just had a baby about 9 months ago. Anyway, straight from there, I went to see my pastor, Fraser, who was there, Fraser Rowe, and Chichi. Love those boys. They're always honest. And I said, "Do I look pregnant at all?" Anyway, I was just like, "Who says that?" Straight away, went out, rung both my sisters who work in the city, demanded they see me straight away and said, "Okay, what's the deal? Is this black dress working? Is it not working as well?" So I'm just declaring on that day that Pastor Phil did not have prophecy and he just did not have the power of spirit in him. And as a pastor, if he's watching this somewhere in Greece or wherever he is now, don't ever, any man in the room, don't ever ask a question if a woman is pregnant. So consequently to him, he probably made me get into extra shape even more after that. I feel there's always, when someone gets up to speak, there is a justification for why you are up on stage. It's not because I swam and it's not because I work in TV. It's because I gave my life to Christ. Every single person here in this room, every single person in this room has an amazing testimony. And the great thing is the person sitting next to you has a completely different one that is no greater than yours and no lesser than yours either. For me, I grew up in a pretty amazing household. There's six of us in the family. My mom is actually Jewish and my dad is Christian. And we were brought up believing in whatever we wanted to believe in. We all did go to Sunday school. However, at around about the age of 15, like you normally do, well, a lot of people do, I drifted away a little bit. Social activities started becoming a little bit more important and church just kind of got in the way. And so for me, there came a moment and time where I gave myself to God and I felt that I was committed, but it would be at Christmas time or when something bad happened or at the end of the year, I would often, and I still have diaries of at the end of every New Year's, I would write this big long letter to God, like, dear God, this is what my year has been like. Can you help me with this? I would also find that often when I was swimming right in the middle of big competitions, when I was really nervous, I would bend down over the blocks and say, oh God, please be with me. And I knew that I was too nervous because God is with you all the time, right? So you shouldn't ever need to ask him if he's with you. There came a time in my life when I was around about 19 and I ran into a friend that used to be the captain of school with me back in primary school. He was one of five and strongly Christian boy. But I saw him and he looked disheveled and so very different. And he'd chosen to take a different path in his life and that path was no longer following God. And I actually saw him down at Manly and he kind of almost looked a little bit homeless. And he'd been doing some recreational things he shouldn't have been doing. And it was lovely to see him, but I was so shocked because he was such a strong Christian and had faith but had just taken a different direction in life. Not long after that, I heard that he was working at KFC and he was closing up. And as he did, a group of people came in and asked if they could use the bathroom. And he told them it was fine. And when they came out, they pulled a gun to his head. And he said to me, Elka, the last thought that went through my head was, would God have been happy with the way I lived my life if they pulled the trigger now? And when he said that, it was so incredibly powerful. It resonated in me. And it's also a question for everyone. If something were to happen to you right this second or right this moment, would God really be happy with the way that you're living your life right now? And from that, he turned his life around and went back to God. And for me, basically, that's where I decided that I wanted to go back to God. I was in a relationship that was fun, but wasn't meaningful and wasn't right. And I decided to start going to church. And I wasn't afraid to admit that I was starting to go to church. And I went along to a Pittwater Uniting Church, and there I met Fraser and Tammy Rowe. And not long after that, they came to C3. And this is now, I think, 8 or 10 years ago. I walked in here, as I'm sure a lot of you have for the first time. Everybody is stunning and everybody is beautiful and everybody is so happy. You think, okay, what is everybody on? Like, this is crazy. Everyone was just so gorgeous, happy, filled with the Spirit. Arms are lifting. People are talking in tongues, things I had no idea about. And I just walked in and I enjoyed it. I felt overwhelmed and it doesn't, you know, it takes a lot for me to get overwhelmed. And I turned around and walked out and it was good and I enjoyed it and I was honest. About 6 weeks later, I just decided to come back of my own accord. And I came back and there was just, I just knew. It wasn't a feeling. God is more than a feeling. Christ is more than a feeling. It is something that is within you. It is a presence that is within you. I can honestly say that I am unconditionally happy because no matter what happens in my life, I know that life is just a preparation for eternity. And does everybody else know that? That this is just a stepping stone for the best kingdom that we're ever going to go to. I kept listening to this and I kept going to church and I would listen to things just before talking about water baptisms and thought, I don't need to do that. I've given my life to Christ. My gorgeous, one of my best friends, Gabby, who's here tonight, who's chaperoned me and hosted me, was getting water baptized and she asked me to come with her. And I came and Fraser was actually leading the message beforehand. They went out and he said, well, why don't you do it? And I said, oh, I don't really need to. I got baptized when I was younger. I believe in God. About 3 weeks later, he messaged me again and heckled me. He said, why don't you do it? I said, I don't like the fact that you have to get up and everybody watches you and you come down the stage. It's like a bit of a show pony. It's a bit of a parade. He wrote me back this message that literally has just changed my foundation of thinking. He said, Elka, get over yourself. It's not about you. It's about God. And it was so powerful and so true that I absolutely loved it. And it made me realize that we often come to church and we'll find things that's wrong with church. Why was that person late? Why is that person up there? Why are they doing it this way? I didn't like how they do it that way. Do you know what? No church is ever going to be perfect. Don't come for the singers. Don't come for the best pastors in the world. Don't come for the king and queen that lead this, that made this possible. Come because you're willing to come to have special time, that 90 minutes with God. Whatever is going on, that is why you come to church. it's something that I always joke about. People come and they want to catch up and they want to talk, and I love doing that. But when I come and I want to be here with God, I want to know that I can freely cry, I can laugh, I can sit up in the back corner, I can sit down in the front row. I'm not judged. It doesn't matter if I'm here or I'm watching it online. I come for one purpose only, and that is God. So remember, when you walk into any church, and this really is the best church in the world, I'm not being biased at all, but we are here for God. And we are here to move forward. If you want to come to a church that's going to be stagnant and does the same thing then every week, then I'm the first to say stand up, because this isn't the right church for you. This church moves forward because God moves forward. If you're going to grow, then you're going to have to come into a place where we are now of expanding through. So I gave my life to Christ and have now been at C3 Church for about 8 years now, and absolutely loved it. My husband and I have been married for 5 years, and Thomas has given his life to Christ as well, which is amazing. Our children come to church, kids church, and it's so beautiful to be in the house where it all started. Tonight I wanted to ask you some really big questions, and I love the fact that a Sunday night is so full of youth. You guys are the population of what's going to be coming. 50% of the world now is under the age of 25. You're no longer looking at people's birth certificates. If you want something done, you'll normally ask somebody who is young or someone who has continued to keep up with the times. Are you currently stuck in a rut? Are you needing a change and you're not sure of the direction? Or have you lost identity? These are huge questions, and they're really big. Do you know right now that you are stuck in a rut in maybe one particular field and you just don't know how to shift forward? I'm not going to answer your question and say, I've got the answer to change your life tonight. I don't, but I want to walk through it with you. Last August, I was walking in Centennial Park with Thomas in Nevada and Edison, and we were planning to go for a walk and then come to church like we do on a Sunday. Thomas was talking and I was listening, and it was going in one ear and out the other. We just come back from the London Olympics. He'd done his fourth Olympics and I'd been on their broadcasting, and everything was great and rosy, but I felt something brewing. And as we started walking, he just asked a question, and all of a sudden I started absolutely crying. It was by far at the age of 30 last August, rock bottom for me. I'd lost my identity. I knew who I was as a wife, and I knew who I was as a mother, but I'd forgotten who Elka was. I actually felt I did not know what my gift was. I did not know what my purpose was, and I'm still discovering that, like we all are. I literally had just got to a point, and I felt it brewing for months and months. Who am I? What am I doing? What direction am I taking in life? Yeah, I can just keep hiding behind being a wife and a mom. What is God wanting me to do? Have you ever got to that point where you actually know that? And you might know that right now in your heart and head. But the thing is, often the things that you know the most, you actually hold back from God. You don't even know where to start to pray it with him. I tried, and my words just wouldn't come out. It kind of got to the point of, so God, you know where I'm at, and I don't know what to do about it. We didn't go to church that day. I just sat in the park and I cried and I cried and I cried. And Thomas was beautiful, but you're great, and look at this, and this is happening. And I said, yeah, but you don't get it. I feel like I've lost my identity. I don't know what I'm doing. That was my rock bottom point. And he looked at me, and I love a man who's so black and white, and he said, well, Elka, you are the only one that can change it. It's really funny when people often use what I find the excuse of times and seasons. Oh, this is a season you're going through. Have you ever heard of that? It's a time for spring. It's a season. It's never a season. It's either about you or a person, and that needs to change. So please, from this moment on, try not to use that excuse. It is normally either about you or another person. And for me, entirely, I knew it was about me. I sat down and would look at my day and realized in the 86,400 seconds that every individual human being has, I wasn't getting any time to myself. And what I needed was time for me so that I could dedicate that time to God and get in line with him. What it meant was a simple shift. And that shift was, I'm up now between 5:40 and 6:15 every morning, and I either run or I'll swim in the summer, or I'll go to the gym, or I'll catch up with a girlfriend. And that entire hour I'm out of the house, guess what? I'm not a wife, and I'm not a mom, but I'm Elka. And I started seeing who I was again. And those moments, those every second week, I try to just exercise by myself. I get this amazing quality time with God where I get to talk to him. Or sometimes I won't. I'll just listen to him. That's something that we all need to do more. Stop talking so much to God and listen to him. Stop thinking you know everything, but get into the word. What we all should be asking for more every single day is capacity and wisdom. And you're only going to get that by spending time with God. You know all these things, so don't walk out tonight going, yeah, I know it, but don't follow through with it. And for me, it was that simple shift. And I can boldly say now that I really am in a place where I know who I am and that I'm happy where I am. But I really felt that God had got me to that point because he was trying to teach me something and get me there. I had a fear, and it wasn't a healthy fear. It was bondage, and it was holding me back. Right now, I do know far too many people in my world that are like that right now. Fighting the fear of being called. That's where you're all at, and that's where some people are at, where you know there's this massive change that needs to be made in your life, or even a small change, but like dropping a stone in the water and you can see the ripple effect happening, you can see it infiltrating and poisoning every other part of your world. And for me, there are too many people I know right now in my world and out of it that keep repeating the same lessons or keep getting to the point of knowing they need to make that change, they know they're being called, they know they need to step up, but they're fighting the fear of it. And the fear is like bondage, holding them back and not moving forward. And God is not like that. God is love. He is not fear. He is everything against that. It is the enemy talking in your head. So I'm encouraging you, if this is stirring something in your heart, if this is ruffling feathers in you, I want you to fight that fear and take the step up. The Christian faith is a church that is going to grow. It is a church that is going to expand. And if you're not doing the same with God, if you're not growing with God, if you're not moving forward with God, then how is your life changing? How is your life getting better? God doesn't want us to do this with him. He doesn't. We do that too much often in life. God wants us to move forward with him all the time. He talks about it in the Bible all the time. The biggest thing that I want to know most more in my life is I want to know Jesus so much. I have so many questions. I have this book, this heaven book that I have, of all these questions I want to know. Why did this happen? Why did you do this? What about when this happened to me? And I think, you know, when they talk about getting to the gates, God will look at you and say, yeah, you're in or no, you're not. I'll be like, now question 532, back in, and people will be down the line going, hurry up, she's taking too long, send her the other way, which won't happen. But what I do know, it better not happen. I do love you, Christ. God wants you to move forward with him. And if you're stuck in a rut and you're not learning the same lesson and you keep fighting the fear, are you moving forward with God? And I'm not just talking about, God, this has happened again. Can you please help me? Are you actually going deeper than that? Are you asking the question, what do I need to learn in this situation? What are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to reveal to me? Another big question for you is, I know that most of you, or nearly all of you here tonight, are Christians, and that's amazing. But are you committed? Are you a committed Christian? It's the same as if there are any athletes in the room tonight. You might want to go to the Olympics, and that's wonderful. But are you really committed? I was 17 and 9 months, and I was 9 seconds out from making the Olympics, 9 seconds off what Susie O'Neill was doing. And then just in one moment, speaking with Mum and Dad one night, I decided I wanted to go to the Olympics. And that 3% of a nation made a national team, and 0.8% got up on the dais. And for those 9 months leading up to the Olympics, I didn't miss one training session unless I was sick. I got up on the blocks and knew that the only thing that was going to stop me was fear, and I'd put everything into it. So I could honestly say I was a committed athlete. Now, it doesn't mean that you're always going to succeed all the time, but the fact that you're committed when you do put your best foot forward even if it doesn't work out for you, you can still walk away saying, you might not have got first place, but you still won and you did a PB because there is nothing more that you could have given. Last week I had a really big audition for something that I can't say quite yet, but I got to a point where I sat down and got introduced to someone who is just an absolute icon of media, and I shook this person's hand, and in that moment it was the first time I met someone who actually made me feel intimidated. I've never really felt intimidated before. Even the way they shake my hand, they put their hand out like this, you know, demanding authority, wanted to give them a left hook. And in that moment, you have no time to muck around in TV. And here we were at this audition, and I thought, okay, great, got my notes, I'm ready to go. This is my moment. You can shine. Come on, God. They introduced me, okay, Elka, this is to this person. And they just looked me up and down. You know the people that do that? Like from the moment you get up to stand up. And I thought, right, they're trying here. And I thought, this is my moment. And all I hear was 4, 3, 2, right, here we go. We're running this rehearsal. We're testing you. And in that moment, I had the choice to either let fear get the better of me or step up. So when I'm talking about fighting the fear of being called and stepped up, all of you have had the opportunity, and I have many times, of being given an opportunity to step up. And I can honestly tell you, I have done that sometimes and failed because I have let fear get the better of me. And when you let fear get the better of you, you are inviting the devil into your head. God is not fear. God is love. What you want to do is move forward and go for it. There are 4 points that I want to run through with you tonight. And my first point is start. It's a simple word. It means to begin, to move, to set out, to spring forth, to set into motion, to originate, to play, to enter, to commence. You probably know the change that you need to make, but it's the fear of actually doing it. Where do you start and what do you do? Do you know what? I guarantee whatever it is, your fear, it's something that the internet would easily be able to cure. There's nothing now that you can't type into Google of how do I find a new job? Where do I get a pair of flippers from? How do I find a better friend? You know what I mean? There are a million ways. The internet gives you an answer for everything, but make sure you're going to the right source to get your answer. Start. It's very simple. I just gave you the definition. Clear example of this is Moses in Hebrews. He has fear initially the whole time. He's asked to, you know, take his whole nation away from him. He second guesses God the entire time. He has this fear, but God believes in him. You are not too small. You are absolutely perfect. You are uniquely made. You have your own name. God formed you in his womb. He knows what you need to do. So start. If it's in your head and it's brewing, start. When someone runs, when you get out to exercise, a clear example of when you want to lose weight, you get to a point when you run and you think, I can't do this anymore. Here are the two thoughts that always come in my head. If I have enough energy in my head to tell me I can't do this anymore, I clearly have more energy. You know when you're dead, when you can't even think anything anymore. The second thing I think of, and a great thing for people running tomorrow, if you're running and you do think that thought, I'm going to give up, this is what I think to myself. Elka, you can put your left in front of your right, and then you can put your right in front of your left. And I keep telling myself that one small step at a time, and before I know it, I make my goal. Just start. Be black and white. I don't believe in all this grey area. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. If you know you need to make a change, just start right now, tomorrow morning. If you need to lose weight, get up, get out the door and start exercising. I promise you it will change your life and bring you closer. It's exactly what God wants you to do. He just wants you to start making the change in your life that you need to make. In Mark 6:32, it said, so they started out in a boat by themselves to a lonely place. Starting out, guys, is lonely. It is very lonely because it's the hardest change you're ever going to make. But you've got to do it to grow. God's never going to give you anything easy. Never. Otherwise, why would he give it to you? He's always going to test you to grow your faith in Christianity. The second point is owning your gift. Do you know what your gift is? Do you know what your purpose is? I remember talking to Pastor Phil a couple of weeks ago, and he told me that one of his greatest missions is to stop people from trying to be someone else that they're not, to start using their own gift. I say it all the time, but be a first-rate you and not a second-rate somebody else. Be a first-rate you and not a second-rate somebody else. You can try to be somebody else, but no matter how badly you try to do it, I promise you, you're not going to succeed and you're not going to be them. You do have your gift and you do have your purpose, and even if you don't know what it is, here's a simpler question to ask yourself. If you had to sum yourself up in one word right now, what's the thing that's coming to your head? Is it I'm negative? I'm cynical? Is it you're encouraging, positive, hardworking, gifted, talented? Whatever it is, start honing in on it and start using your own gift. The first thing I did in the beginning of 2012 last year was I sat down and I got to the point, and it had taken me a long time. I said, God, I have one question for you all this year. And that question is, reveal to me all my faults. That is a huge question to ask. And I swear, I think it had been brewing since 2010. And I was like, right, I'm about to ask the King of Kings this big question. And I got my answers. And I'm an open person, but I ain't sharing any of them with you tonight. I'm still working through a lot of them. I think hopefully my husband has noticed some good changes. But good question to ask. What are your faults for you to grow? What are your faults? Reveal them. See, it's not always the white, fluffy stuff. Be a better you. You can do it. You do get stuck in a rut sometimes, and you have to dig deeper than just those synthetical questions. You have to ask yourself, what are the things that you need to change? The third point is learning the lesson. Put your hand up if you've had the same lesson either in a job or a relationship or a situation, and it keeps happening again and again and again. I can shoot my hand straight up. Now, why is that happening? God is a smart God. He's a kind God, but he's a firm God. If it's relationship, if it's your work, if it's a groundhog day and the same thing is happening again and again, why is it happening? Let me tell you right now, a really hard truth, it's you. The same lesson shouldn't be happening again and again. And God will keep teaching you that lesson until you learn it, and you learn it in the way that he wants to, and he wants to direct you into that right path. So if you're in the moment of that, ask yourself what shift needs to be made. Another great example is God gave chances to Pharaoh in Exodus. He gave him 10 chances of actually giving everything up and over. He didn't listen. What did he do? He turned the Nile to blood, frogs, live beasts, livestock disease, boils, hail, locusts, darkness, and then he ended up taking his firstborn son. That's not entirely going to happen to us, but the same lesson will keep repeating, and while it does keep repeating and you don't learn it, you are missing out on God's glory and amazing opportunities for you. Don't use excuses. Just don't. I remember one of the greatest quotes that I love. The moment you grow up is the moment that you learn to take responsibility for all your actions. Have you ever noticed people with excuses will say, yeah, but he was late, or she didn't get me on time, or yeah, but it's just because I'm with them. Birds of a feather flock together. Do you know what? If you're wrong, admit it. Two greatest words you've got to learn in life. Thank you and I'm sorry. That's actually three. You know, you can learn a lesson. You can learn a lesson once and make a mistake, totally fine. If you learn it twice or three times, it's kind of foolishness, isn't it? Once should all it be take. Come on, everyone in the room here is smart and articulate and intelligent. So once you learn that lesson once and you know it's not right, then move forward with it. The fourth and final point is check. Check yourself before you start anything bold, before you make a rash decision of changing anything in your life. You must seek the one and truly King only, making sure that he is sending you on the right direction and the right path. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first his kingdom and righteousness. If you know you're stuck, if you know you are fighting the fear of being called, make sure the first thing you do is hand it over to God. And even if you were like me and you can't even get your words out when you pray, he knows your heart. He knows what's inside. If it gets you to the point where you are on your knees at night praying, or you are up in the morning early because you cannot sleep, that is God knocking at you, wanting to spend time with you. Get up and check. Make sure you're seeking before you make this change. Ask yourself with these changes, is it aligned with your purpose? Does it please God? And is it done from love and not frustration? Big point. Make sure a change or fighting the fear when you are called to be stepped up is done from a place of God's love and not from frustration. Frustration will only take you so far. Galatians 5:22-23 says, but the fruit of spirit is love, joy, peace, forgiveness, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. I love in this passage how it says, the first thing it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love. And that is what God is. He is not fear. He is love. We all have fear in our life, but it needs to be a healthy fear moving forward and not one of bondage. You need to choose love and not fear. You need to choose to start and not stammer or find excuses. Don't flight, don't fight, don't freeze, just move forward and fight the fear of being called by stepping up. There's a final thing that I want to leave you with. It's by my favorite author, Paulo Coelho. I'm sure many people have heard of him. His biggest bookseller has been called The Alchemist. He says, Jesus says, let your yes be yes and your no mean no. When a person takes on a commitment, you should keep your word. Those who make promises, they do not lose their self-respect and they aren't ashamed of their actions. These people can sometimes spend their lives in constant flight. Pardon me. They expend far too much energy on coming up with a series of excuses to unsay what they said. Then, can you believe it? I'm going through puberty right now. Excuse me. Thank you. These people spend their lives in constant flight, and they spend far more time on energy coming up with a series of excuses to say no when the warrior of light does in honouring his commitments. Sometimes you too will take on a foolish commitment, which will in some way harm you. Just don't repeat the mistake. Keep your word and pay the price for your own impulsiveness.
Thanks for listening to the C3 Church podcast. Visit us online at myc3church.net. Join us next time for more great teaching.